Described by The New Yorker as an adventurous pianist who likes his music on the brainy side, Ivan Illich is the guest in this week's Music of Friends program. He'll present a recital that includes the music of Johann Sebastian Bach, Frédéric Chopin, Scott Wolfschlager, and Alexander Scriabin. Tune in to the Music of Friends this Sunday evening at 8.
And this is what you will not hear on tonight's Music of Friends from Ivan Illich's latest release, The Transcendentalist. We're going to be listening to John Cage's Dream.
Thank you. This has been really exciting for me, the CD, The Transcendentalist, for several reasons. First of all, I'm going further and further off the beaten path by doing what is now referred to as a concept album, you know, which has like a title. It has several different composers on it. This is the kind of thing that was really looked down upon by the music industry 10 years ago. And I think that the reason why it's accepted now is because the major labels, who have been having such a hard time in the last 5 years or so, have gotten desperate to sell albums, and so they've been making albums that are kind of mix albums, you know, like the best of X, Y, or Z. And you know, on the one hand, you know, we can laugh at that because it is laughable. On the other hand, it's opened things up a bit, and I think that's interesting. Also, it kind of relates to where we are in the history of recording. You know, if you look at the history of photography, for example, in the beginning of photography, people were so shocked by the fact that they could document something with photography and then show it to someone who had never seen it. You know, maybe someone would take a photo of the harbor of Hong Kong, you know, in 1910, and they would show it to someone in Europe who had never seen it, and they were looking at truth, right? Okay, so we were documenting something. So that's very interesting. And with recordings, I think we did that in the beginning. You know, we wanted to document great performances. We wanted to document works. And in the 70s and 80s, we had a lot of recordings of people like Godofsky that people had never heard of. But, you know, people stop just documenting things and they start making images. And the images have maybe no reference. Maybe the image is not of, you know, a horse running, or it's not of a person, but it's just the image is something which has been fabricated, you know, in post-production. And I think that pop music has done this really well with CDs. You know, they make music that they can't perform. You know, it's just, it's been done with computers. There is no performance of the music. And with classical music, I think we're starting to move in that direction. We're starting to make things that, you know, there's a piece for piano four hands, and Glenn Gould recorded it by himself. Right? So there's two Glenn Goulds performing a Beethoven symphony transcribed by Liszt. And we haven't done that much of that. But I think that now we're starting to get a little bit more free. You know, in classical music, we're quite conservative. It takes us a long time to get comfortable with change. Okay? So we're there now. And with this Transcendentalist, it was an opportunity for me to try to tell a story about the way we think about music history. So, you know, if you mix a composer whose dates are 1872 to 1915, Scriabin, with a composer who was born in 1980, what does that say? What does it mean? You know, can we do that? Well, why not? You know, we can do it in programs, but in recordings it was kind of snubbed. But it turns out that there are a lot of recordings that look good on paper, but that are horrible to listen to. You know, like the complete, I don't know, Beethoven sonatas. You know, listening to that many Beethoven sonatas, it gets old. You know, after a while, you want to hear something else. You want to hear some Chopin or some Abram symphony or something else. So I started to think about the fact that an album is something that, you know, if you think about rock music, you want to listen to it from beginning to end, right? You want there to be variety, but you want there to be something that holds the different music together. So for me, this album, The Transcendentalist, the thread is the mood. In other words, it's kind of this calm, meditative thing. Now, if I was quite aware of the fact that it was only calm and meditative, and there was no dynamic range and no movement, then it would be really boring to listen to. You know, after 20 minutes, it would be you'd be changing the city. So I tried to think about things that were similar enough so that they fit together, but different enough, and so the ear would kind of perk up every 10 minutes or so. So I think what happened was I was reading about Morton Feldman, and I wanted to put his piece, Palais de Marie, on the CD. So that's a 25-minute piece. And I started thinking to myself, where does that style come from? You know, what are his forefathers musically? And I read somewhere an essay by him where he talks about the fact that, you know, his family is Ukrainian Jews who moved to New York City. And his piano teacher, the first piano teacher, Vera Marina Press, was a good friend of the Scriabin family. And she used to know the Scriabins, have dinner with them all the time. And his first piano lessons were Scriabin pieces. And he used to write pieces that he said were Scriabinesque, which we've lost. So we don't know what they sound like. But I thought, well, maybe if we put Scriabin next to his music, we'll hear something. So I did, and I think that we do. I think there's a link there. It's been completely fragmented, and, you know, it's not the same thing at all, but there is something there. So that was kind of the basis of the CD. And then I had been performing two pieces by John Cage, Dream and In a Landscape, which are so simple as to almost be naive. And I think that we have this idea of John Cage as being this really kind of almost aggressive avant-garde, you know, he wanted to just explode all of the musical icons. But John Cage was a much more complex figure than that. And he was able to write these kind of naive pieces 6 months before he wrote the prepared piano pieces, which made his career. And I think not many composers would be able to do that, you know, write pieces so different next to each other aesthetically. We have this idea that, you know, if you like A, then you don't like B. You know, you hate B if you like A. But he was not like that. He was inclusive. So I think mixing all those things together, and then this new piece by Scott Wolschlager, Music Without Metaphor, it was really important to me to play something by someone young who I didn't know. You know, no political reason or otherwise reason to play the music, just because it was the right piece. And I have to say, putting the project together felt really dangerous. I had no idea what I was doing. You know, if you play all the Debussy preludes, it's, you know, in some ways you're not taking a risk because they all fit together. They were written together. It's been done. But this recording, it felt so precarious. You know, I had no idea whether it was going to work until it was done, really. Until I picked the order for the tracks, and then I listened to it, and I listened to it probably 50 times, which is something I've never done with my own CD, because I just wanted to make sure it was okay. And I think it is.
Been listening to Scriabin's Prelude Opus 15 number 4 in E, played by Ivan Illich from his latest CD, The Transcendentalist, featuring works by Scriabin, John Cage, Martin Feldman, and the young American composer Scott Wolschlager. The pieces on the album demonstrate the influence Scriabin's music had on American avant-garde piano music. The album also reveals the connections between these composers and transcendentalism, America's first important philosophical movement. It's an exploration of meditative music and traces a mood in these miniatures. It encourages introspection, and through the patient, refined playing of Ivan Illich, we have access to a contemplative world of inner calm. Highly recommended to listen to the music from start to finish on this album, especially if you need a break from the craziness of the world that we're living in today.